welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name is Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
Hey, welcome to David. Welcome to David. If you know about David, say, I know about David. I know about David too, but I thought we've already studied a New Testament person of the Bible, a New Testament character. I hate to call them characters because sometimes you hear character and you think of a made-up book, which the Bible is not. Amen? But a New Testament person. We study Peter, and now we're going to focus our attention on an Old Testament person named David. And there's so much to learn from David. Quick question in the room. Has anybody ever heard of the People's Choice Awards? People's Choice Awards, yeah? How about the Grammys? Anybody know about the Grammys? And all these other awards or all these other shows where we celebrate people. We seem to live in a society that loves to celebrate and lift up people, don't we? And I was thinking about the People Choice Awards as I was studying this series and getting ready for this particular message. And I did a quick biblical Wikipedia search. Just kidding. I did a quick Wikipedia search of the People Choice Awards. And the People Choice Awards, it says this. The People Choice Awards is an American award show recognizing people in entertainment voted on by the general public and fans. The show has been held annually since 1975, with the winners originally determined using a Gallup poll, but now they've switched to online voting since 2005. And in the People Choice Awards, they have different categories like movies and television and music artists and pop culture. And they have different categories where they give away awards like Male Movie Star of the Year, right? That'd be fun to win. Or Female Movie Star of the Year, Male TV Star of the Year, Female TV Star of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, Female Artist of the Year. In pop culture, they have different little things like this. Social Star of the Year. They're just Social Star. Many of us call our children social butterflies, right? And maybe one day they can become a social star. Beauty Influencer. These are awards that the People Choice Awards are giving away to other people. Social Celebrity of the Year, Spouse Star of the Year, and Athlete of the Year. All of these are all about people and their accomplishments. That's what the People Choice Awards are. And the only way that we can celebrate other people, and the main gauge that we have to give away this award, is by what? By what we see. By what we hear. By what we witness, by what we observe. That's how people work. We give away awards based on what we see. We judge people and award people by people's actions, right? And it's all about what we can see. We live in a culture that wants to promote people, pick people, celebrate people. And we do it with what we see and what we hear. But can I tell you something? What we see and what we hear don't tell the whole story. What we see and what we hear doesn't tell the whole story. See, many of you see something in me because of your eyes. But do you know my heart? We get to witness April and Randy. We get to witness Sean on this stage every week. And we see so much in them. But what we don't see matters even more. And see, in our culture, again, the People's Choice Awards, we award them because of what we see. But we have to realize, and I believe that the story of David that we find and we just read in 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13, is a great, great, great learning tool for us to recognize what God actually says is that what we see isn't really that important. It's deeper than that. Much deeper than that. So you can put on a beautiful face. You can brush your hair. You can show up every Sunday. You can do your part in your workplace. You can button your shirt and have this dress on. And you can do everything you want. But what you don't see matters more than what we do see. So we have to think about that as we approach this story in 1 Samuel 16. That what you see doesn't tell the whole story. 1 Samuel 16 comes actually after 1 Samuel 15. Did you guys know that? Yeah, you did, right? And so, in order to understand what's going to happen, and we're going to go through 1 Samuel 16, let's understand the build-up to this place that we find ourselves in as we begin to learn about David. In 1 Samuel 15, a man named Saul. Everybody say Saul. Saul is the what? He is the king, right? Saul is the king at this time. And in 1 Samuel 15, we see like the culmination of this story where the Lord has told Saul through the prophet Samuel to completely destroy people named the Amalekites. Everybody say Amalekites. All right, now we're with us. So we got Saul, Samuel, and who? The Amalekites. All right. So we see this happening. Saul, Samuel, Amalekites, and the Lord said to Saul through Samuel, you are to go and kill, completely destroy the Amalekites. But Saul didn't fully obey. He only partially obeyed. And that's where Saul gets himself in trouble time and time again. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, it says that Saul replied, I did most of what you said, Lord, but, and the but was he didn't kill the king, and he saved the plunder. So he listened to the Lord up to the point that he decided not to. And we have to understand that partial obedience to God comes with penalties. If we want to experience the full amount of favor and blessing to our Lord, we have to recognize that partial obedience is not okay. And many of us, even with that statement, I'm not even into the good stuff today. Even with that statement, you're going, I don't want to hear any more. He's calling me a partial follower. Oh my, how dare him judge my commitment and obedience to God. Stick with me if that's how you feel right now. So this is what happened in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. It says, because you have rejected the command of the Lord, period, he has rejected you. That's Samuel speaking to Saul on behalf of the Lord. He's saying, you were supposed to kill everybody, but you didn't. And because of that, you are now going to be rejected by the Lord. He was the king, guys. He was a powerful king, had everything going for him. But his obedience was partial. He would not fully surrender and obey the Lord our God. And here's what happened. We're working up, right? We're building up and finding context in this 1 Samuel 16. Here's what happened. This broke Samuel's heart, the prophet. Because he had walked with Saul for a while. He had been Saul's right-hand man. He had spoken to Saul on behalf of the Lord. He loved him. And it broke Samuel's heart. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 35, we're almost to 16 now. Scripture says that after this happened, after the Lord made Samuel tell Saul, hey, you're now rejected. After it happened, Samuel mourned constantly for him. It says he went back and he mourned constantly. Why would he mourn? Because it broke his heart to see somebody who was being used by God experience the rejection of God. That should break our heart. We live in a day and age right now that we see it all the time. People being used by God, stepping outside and having partial obedience and thinking they can get away with whatever they want. And then they get rejected by God and they get everything stolen from them. And I don't want that to be me. Amen? And you don't want that to be you. So we have to learn from some people in our life. We need to learn from Scripture what it really looks like to not partially obey, but to fully surrender to our Lord and Savior. This is a story of a mature man named Saul losing his kingship because of his lack of obedience to God. That's what that was a story of. Saul, by appearance, had everything, it appeared, to be a great king. He was strong, mighty, powerful, had control of everything. He led well. By appearance, it looked like he would be a great king. And he was, until he wasn't. Right? He was until he wasn't. He did some great things. And then all of a sudden, he decided to partially obey God, and God rejected him from that point on. So now that we know the build up to chapter 16, let's go back to what we've already heard read today. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 16. If you have a Bible with you, pull it out and let's look at this together. We're going to slice and dice some scripture up and learn some good solid truths from this story of David. It says in 1 Samuel 16 verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel," okay, where the Lord's speaking to Samuel, the one who was mourning for Saul, "you have mourned long enough." Maybe he wants to say that to somebody today. Listen, you've mourned long enough. You've mourned what you lost long enough. It's time to move on. He says, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." Pause there for a second and let's look up, and I want to share something that I saw in this first part. First off, that whole idea that some of us have mourned long enough and it's time to stop mourning and moving. Amen? It's time to stop mourning and moving. That thing that you've been mourning for a really long time, God is saying, "Okay, listen, you lost it. It's time to go now. I have a new assignment for you. I have a new place. I have a new role. I have a new thing. I have a new blessing. I have a new favor. And it's time to go." And this is what God was doing with Samuel in this moment. He was about to give him a new assignment. But here is what I see in this scripture about this assignment. The most interesting thing that popped out to me is that during an assignment, God doesn't always give you the details to your assignment. He doesn't always give you the details. Sure, he gave Samuel a good bit of detail, but the thing that stuck out to me is where he says, "Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I've selected one of his sons to be my king." How many of you would have loved, if you were Samuel, for God to just say to you, "And his name is David"? Amen? Right? It's just David. So when you get there, ask for David. But God didn't do that. God didn't do that because he was going to teach Samuel something new too in this. And he wants us to see something unique in this as well. That oftentimes he says, "Go and be and try this new thing." He gives you a new assignment, but he doesn't give you every single detail in that assignment. It's called walking in faith, right? It can be called that you know the Lord has nudged you, guided you, led you, opened this door for you. You're willing to step in it, even though you don't know everything about it. And that's what I see here. He says, "Go to Jesse's house, and I'm going to make one of his sons king." And God didn't have to do that. He could have said, "It's David. And by the way, you're going to find him out with the animals." So don't even go to the house. Don't even do all the other stuff. No, he made Samuel walk through a process. And there's learning that happens when we go through the process that God has for us. And some of us are in that process right now. You want to fast forward the process. Amen. Can you just tell me his name's David? Right? Or whatever. Can you just tell me what I'm supposed to do next week? Can you just tell me how this business deal is going to be? Can you just tell me where I'm supposed to live? Can you just tell me if I'm supposed to sell my house? Can you just tell me? David! Right? Like, just tell me, God. And he's saying no, because God doesn't always give you the details of your assignment. Let's look at verse 2. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord says, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will then show you which of his sons to anoint for me. He still doesn't tell him. He still doesn't say, even in that, he still doesn't say, then I will tell you that it's David and he's going to look like this. You know, he still is holding back information. Listen. Trust that even though you don't have the details, God does. Let me say that again. You have to trust that even though you don't have the details, God does. He knows our next steps. He knows our next moves. He knows why he wants you to take you into this uncomfortable place and take you in this direction, because of the thing you're going to learn and the thing you're going to get out of it and where he ultimately wants you to be. He knows that you were not supposed to go the straight path, but you were supposed to go around. He knows that it could have been easier for you to find out at the beginning, but if you would have, you wouldn't have learned the things you needed to learn now. He knows these things. And we have to trust that even though you don't have the details, guess who does? Say it with me. God. God does. He knows. Verse 4, so Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? They were scared that he was there. Why were they scared? Well, they had heard about this whole situation with Saul being rejected and Samuel telling him, and they didn't know if Saul was going to try to create like an uprising against or Samuel and Saul were going to be going against each other. They didn't know what was happening, so they worried about what might take place. And so he says in verse 5, yes, Samuel replied, I do come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Why? Because he was the people's choice. Big, strong, tall, probably had hair, right? He probably didn't wear glasses. I mean, he had it going on. I mean, he was the people's choice. Big full beard, everything that you would think would be what you would see in somebody who's going to be the next king. Saul, he's like, this must be surely the Lord's anointed one. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height. Praise God, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the 1, 2, 3 heart. The Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. There it is. That's the biggest thing you need to see and hear today. What powerful words that we all need to lean into. Every one of us in the room. People look outward and what you can see. But God looks at, say it again, the heart. God looks at the heart. God looks at the things that truly matter. We look at the things that don't. Amen? We all have seen this in our life. Now, I'm gonna get a little off script just for a second. I want to try to make this point, okay? People, we're prone to look at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We need to better look at the heart of the people that we engage with. We know this to be true because men in the room, talking to the men real quick. Women, you probably could say, yeah, that I know that story too. Men in the room, to prove that we so often look at the outward appearance. Every one of us in the room grew up with a guy, went to school with a guy, or knew a guy, right? That decided to fall in love with somehow and marry the most beautiful girl in the school. And when he came to you and said, Randy, I'm going to marry Cindy, whatever, you know, make up a name. You thought to yourself, man, she is beautiful, but that girl is crazy. Right? And you want to tell your friend, bro, she beautiful, but that girl is crazy. Like, there's something going on in her heart that you're blinded to right now. But I want to warn you, but you don't say it, and you want to say it, but you want to say, hey, quit looking at the outward appearance. You need to look at that girl's heart because it ain't right. She's doing this. She's doing that. She's saying this. Have you seen her act this way in this place? The girl is crazy, and you're looking only at the outward appearance. That's what people do, and you need to start looking at the heart. See, we all deal with this, right? The day that you walk into this church and you look at me, you judge me by my appearance, whether it's your first, second, third, or fourth time. The day we meet, the day you meet anybody, you walk into your workplace, you meet somebody and you judge and you want to just cast a judgment on them and how they're going to react to you. And we need to start seeing how God sees, not how we see. We need to start praying, Father, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart because I want to see what you see. Because all I see is somebody that looks like I want to punch them in the face. Like they just make me so mad. But they might have the greatest heart that you've ever seen. But because they look like somebody that looked like somebody that hurt you one time, you can't get over the people's choice. And we have to learn to look at the heart. And that's what God is saying here to Samuel. Hey, look, Eliab, all the other brothers. Let's read some more. It says all of them. First off, before I say that, I want to say to you right now, and you guys know this, it's not new, that our eyes are our worst enemy. Our eyes are our worst enemy. Because our eyes can play tricks on us. And we start seeing what we want to see and how we want to view them. And instead, we should take some time to get to know people's heart. We also do that to ourselves, by the way. Hold up for a second. This isn't just for how you look at others. It's how you look at yourself. Because you might feel like you're unworthy, incapable, not tall enough, cute enough, good enough. You may look at yourself and you look in the mirror this morning before you came here and go, man, I shouldn't even walk into that place because I've got so much sin in my life. You cast judgment on yourself. And it really has nothing to do with what's going on out here. We spend so much time going to beauticians and picking out the right clothes. And the thing we need to do the most work on is our heart. Is our heart. What I believe God is trying to teach Samuel and showing us is that what you can see is way less important than what you can't. What you can see is way less important than what you can't. Way less important. Anybody ever bought a house? Yeah. majority of us. The rest of you, I mean, you probably have bought a house at some point, or you've been a part of somebody else buying a house. And oftentimes you go up to that house and you're like, this is the house that I want. This is it. Look how beautiful these people renovated this place. And you put the offer in, right? You put the offer in, and you think, yeah, I'm going to get the house of my dreams. And then, what do they do? What do you have to do before you can actually close on a house? Somebody has to come out and what? Inspect that house. And you find out about the things that are unseen that destroy your deal on that house. The foundation's cracked. You didn't see it. The electric behind all the walls, so old, haven't been updated. You didn't see it. And all of a sudden, what you saw looks so beautiful, but what it really is junk. And that's what we have to, you know, think about when it comes to ourselves. We put on a good face. We put on a good look on the outside. But how is our hearts? Because that's what God cares about, right? That's what God cares about. It's the heart that matters. I wrote down here, it's the heart that matters, not the hair. I even wrote, praise God. Whatever. Verse 8. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Verse 9. Next, Jesse summoned Shimei. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Then Samuel says, I guess there is still the youngest. Jesse replied. Somebody say the youngest. Somebody say it again, the youngest. Raise your hand if you're the youngest. Woo! The youngest, the anointed ones. The special ones. I'm just kidding, because I'm the youngest. I like to rub that in my brother and sister's face. I'm just kidding. You guys that are oldest, getting mad right now. Shutting me off. You're not going to listen to another word. Somebody say the youngest. But he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Think about this just for a second. When asked to bring his sons, the next king, David, wasn't even invited to the party. Wasn't even considered a son, I guess. Jesse's like, yeah, there's the youngest one. He's out and he's watching the sheep and goat. Or the sheep and goats. He's out there. Now think. Go deep with me for a second. He was watching the sheep and goats. We think of that as like not a very important job. Oh, he's just out there doing that. But as I was reading this, even this morning, God began to speak into my heart that this was that family's way of making money. This was that their livelihood. This is what they needed to take really, really good care of. You don't just put anybody on that job. You just don't say, hey, listen, I need you. I mean, like, just say it. There's certain jobs I give Ashby and certain jobs I give Jameson. Even though he's the youngest, he ain't ready. Right? You guys do it too. It's like, I know what I can trust certain children with to do and to say. And so we find David out with this most important job. Sure, he was the youngest, but he also must have been trusted. Because you don't leave sheep and goats just to anybody. Think about that just for a second. Why was this job for David? Why was this David's job? Why was he not with the seven other brothers being presented as like maybe the next king? Why was he not in the presence of Samuel for this anointed service that they had to be cleansed for? Why wasn't he there? I start to think maybe it was because the older seven didn't have the qualities of a shepherd. Maybe he wasn't there because he was really needed more out in the field. Because he had the qualities of a shepherd. He was smart. He was concerned. He was leader. He was caring. He was a provider. He was committed. He was trusting. He was a guide. He knew how to care for the sheep and the goats. And isn't that great qualities for the next king? Isn't it? See, everyone else thought Samuel was looking for a king that resembled Saul. That's what would make sense. Saul was this type of king. Now he's been rejected. Find another guy like him. That's what we need. But God is saying, no, I've tried that before. I tried the Saul type before. I tried him. And this time we're not going to go that route. This time we're going to go someone who we're going to find in the field, who is a shepherd, who will care for the flock and look over the people and has the right, say it with me, heart. Say it again, heart. God says, no, no. I don't care how big and strong and handsome these other guys are. I want the right heart. And so my question today is, how is your heart? And can God use you? How is it? How's your heart? Not how's your hair. How's your heart? Are you in a place right now that if Samuel come knocking at your door, hey, I'm looking for the next king. I'm looking for somebody to send on an assignment. No, not these guys. I'm looking for somebody with the right heart. Would he choose you? How's your heart? Can you be used? It goes on to say that Samuel said, oh my goodness, you have a younger brother? Send for him at once. We will not sit down until he arrives. Verse 12. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he had brought, and he anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord, say that with me, Spirit of the Lord. That's what we want, is the Spirit of the Lord. We want God's anointing. We want the Spirit of the Lord. We want the right heart. We need the Spirit of the Lord to transform our heart. We need him to fall upon us. We need to pray for it. We need to ask it. Father, Spirit of the Lord, fall upon me, Jesus. Help me. Change my heart. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Okay? Where did David go? This is good, y'all. There's a lot of truths I've already shared with you. How's your heart? You know, your eyes are your worst enemy. This is good. Where did David go? Guess where David went? Back to the fields. Back to his job, tending the animals. Back out to do what he was responsible for. Back out to be what maybe people might have looked at as a lowly shepherd. Here's the last thing I want you to hear today from this story. We have to be faithful with what God has given us, no matter how small or insignificant the task may seem. What I'm trying to say is be faithful now and let God do the promoting on his time. Let me say it again. Be faithful now where you're at, what you have, what you're doing, and let God promote you on his time. See, what David could have done and what me and you probably would have done has been like, cover me with the oil. Yes, pour it over me. Hey, brothers, I'm going to be the next king. Bow to me. I'm not going back into that field anymore because I've been anointed. I have no reason to be out there. I'm the next king. That's not what he did. He went back and stayed faithful with what he was doing until God promoted him, say this with me, at the right time, on his time, amen, on his time. So today, we need to know, all of us in the room, 1 Samuel verse 16, there's a lot to learn from it. But what I love here at the end is how it ends. Watching the next king go back to work in the field, caring for the sheep and the goats, speaks to me. There was a time in my life about 9 years ago that I wanted to fast forward my ministry career, that I wanted to become something that I wasn't ready for, but I thought I was because I was anointed, right? And I had it all together, and I wanted so much. And praise God, there were people in my life to shut that down and make me stay with the sheep and the goats. Go back to shepherding in the space I was in so that I could learn and grow and develop into what God had for me. If I would have fast-forwarded then, I wouldn't be here now. So all of us in the room need to recognize, you might think you're ready, but God will let you know when you are. You might think you need to promote yourself quickly, but I wrote it down like this. Don't try to fast forward your future. Let God do it. Don't fast forward your future. Stay planted. Stay humble. And let God develop your heart. Your heart. Say that with me. Your heart. So that you're ready for your next assignment. Let me read that again. That's powerful. And somebody here really needs to hear this. Somebody online or somebody that's going to watch in the future needs to hear that you need to stay planted, stay humble, and let God develop your heart so that you're ready for your next assignment. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise the small beginning, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Quit worrying about how big it is right now. God loves it. He loves small beginnings. He loves seeing work begin. Rejoice in this moment. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much." That's a heart issue. If you can't be trusted with a little bit, you ain't ever going to get what you want. Be faithful. Somebody say, be faithful. Be faithful in the little. Love on what you have and let Him give you more. Amen? If this is true, if all of this is true, the last thing I want to tell you, what should we do with this? What should we do with everything we've learned today? I think it's just simple. We need to stay patient. Stay planted, stay faithful, stay obedient, and move when God moves you. Let me say that again. Stay faithful. Now just start processing this message just for a second. Where do you need to stay faithful at right now that you feel like you want to step off and out? Stay planted. What does that mean to stay planted? That means that your roots are growing, right? That you're getting stronger. That you're immovable. That nothing that would try to lure you away will do so because you're planted. Stay faithful. Meaning show up and show out every day. Whatever it is that God has for you to do, show up and show out. Stay faithful to it. Let nothing take your eyes off the prize. Honor Him the way Scripture says in all that you do. Do it in a way that honors Him. Stay faithful and stay obedient. Stay obedient to the ways of God. One of the quickest ways to get outside of God's will and to fast forward your future is to stop being obedient to His commands. Get greedy, right? Getting greedy. Desiring more, compare all these things outside of God's will, outside of God's ways. Stay obedient to His ways. And as you do all of that, when you feel God moving and you feel Him opening doors, walk through them, but not till He gives them to you. Some people like to stink and kick doors open. Amen. I'm coming through, God, whether you want me to be in there or not. I'm coming through. And God's saying, this door is shut for you so that you can develop your heart so you're ready for what's on the other side of it. And be surrendered. Listen, something that I've learned. Be surrendered to the Lord. And when He opens doors, walk through them. And when He shuts them, celebrate them. Don't cry over them. Celebrate them. And know that His timing is perfect. And His timing is right. And move when He says to move. Father, we love You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for this word. We thank You for this teaching. God, let's not hurry out of here. Let's sing a new song. Let's worship a constant God together. We can't get enough of You, Lord, and we need You now. Help us, Lord Father. Help us, oh Jesus. Help us to stay patient, to stay planted, to stay faithful, to stay obedient, and move when God moves us. Maybe worship You now and reflect on this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship a little bit. Tell the Lord how much you love Him.
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.